Lord, we long to go deeper in our relationship with you. Help us by your Holy Spirit to understand more of what it means to get spiritually fitter and find greater space for you in our hearts and lives. Amen. I wonder if you're in church and if you're joining us at home, you'd like to stand with me. I'm wondering what kind of shape you feel in this morning, how kind of fit you're feeling at the morning, feeling at this point. We're just going to do a little bit of gentle exercise, limbering up. So just maybe roll your shoulders a little bit. Come on, folks, let's join in here. At home, you might like to stand too, just gently. I don't want any casualties, so just gentle rolling of the shoulders. And then maybe just a few kind of stretches up and over. That's it. And the other side. That's great. Oh, that feels good, doesn't it? I'm going to do that again. That one's really nice. Over to this side. And then maybe just a bit of kind of walking on the spot, gentle. Children at home, you might like to get a little bit more vigorous. That's great. Aren't you feeling good now? Stretching out. If you'd like to take a seat. Thank you very much. We're thinking at the moment about how to get spiritually fitter. We're in a sermon series called Fit for Life, and we're just kind of limbering up. This is the second week in our series during Lent, Fit for Life. What does it mean to get a bit spiritually fitter? And we're thinking about how our spiritual practice, that is the things that we do like prayer and reading our Bibles, meditation, our use of money, our attitude to possessions, worship, how all those kind of things, those spiritual practices and those habits, whilst they don't earn God's favour, they certainly don't make us better people or better Christians, how they put us in a place where God can make us more like Jesus. How they put us in a place where God can make us more like Jesus. Our spiritual practices, those habits, those exercises, they're part of the way that we cooperate with the growth which only the Holy Spirit can bring. A gardener cannot make plants grow, but she can do things that help. Or if you prefer a different image, a sailor can't make the wind blow, a sailor can't make the boat move, but a sailor can practice certain skills that harness the wind, that get the boat moving. And this morning we're going to spend some time thinking together about a key area which is really essential if we want to deepen our relationship with God and grow in our faith, if we want to get spiritually fitter, making space. Making space. Using the gardening image, making space is a key way in which we can prepare the ground for a spiritual harvest which only God can grow. Now, by making space, I mean a number of different things. Making space in terms of setting time aside to pray and to read our Bibles. Making space in our hearts and our heads, becoming less distracted, more focused and Christ-centered. Making space so we're better able to hear and to see God in our lives. Space to be with God, space to know God, space to hear and to see God. In my experience, making space for God, being intentional about prayer, about Bible reading, about meditation, that is always a constant challenge. And it always will be. There will always, always be other things that we can be doing or think that we could be doing. There will never be a time when we think, aha, the only thing I've got to do is pray. Yippee! That day is unlikely to come. This side of heaven, that is. And there are times in our lives when we find it genuinely difficult to find any space for intentional God time. When we have a house of small children, when we're ill, when we're depressed, when we're facing a particular time of stress at work or in relationships. Even having too much time on our hands can make it difficult to set aside time and space for God. And thankfully, we have a compassionate Heavenly Father who understands that, who knows that. But these are exceptions and must not slip into being the norm. At such times, we do what we have to survive. Time for God will be snatched here and there, but it's not a strategy for life. Snacking on the go has its place, but it's not good for our long-term health. As we emerge out of a particular intense time, maybe as parents or a time of illness or work stress, we must make sure that as life levels out, our capacity to make space for God does so as well. As we know, lockdown has increased the pressures and demands on many people, but it will end. And as we plan our way out of COVID, part of that must include how we get spiritually fitter. Jesus had the best excuse ever for skipping making space for God. Time was short. There were thousands of people to heal. There were thousands of lives to save. There were many more miracles to be done. And yet throughout the Gospels, like that second passage that we heard read from Matthew, we read that Jesus regularly sought space to spend time alone with his Heavenly Father. It makes my own struggles and my own excuses of why I find it difficult to make space really feeble and inadequate. Relationships with anyone, they can only grow if we give them space and time. Yes, they can survive in the short term on kind of text messages and snatched conversations, but long term, those relationships will never deepen. They may, in fact, fizzle out completely if that's all we ever manage. Relationships, they need space for deeper and longer conversation, and so does our relationship with God. Finding space to be with God is a challenge, but Jesus models for us a pattern of living where, alongside snatched moments, we make room for concentrated time to be with him. How we find and make that space will differ for each one of us, and it will change throughout our lives. And no one can be prescriptive about how you or I make that space. Our Fit for Life series, it offers us a great opportunity to reflect on things just like this, not in a way that makes us feel bad about what we're doing or not doing. I mean, that's no use, and it doesn't actually get us anywhere. But reflecting in a way in which we see that there is so much more, there is immeasurably more, that God longs to give us immeasurably more if we spend time tending the soil, making space for his Spirit to work. Think of it a bit like this. This week I had to book our car in for an MOT, and as far as I know, our car is running pretty well. There are no big problems, but it needs an expert eye just to look under the bonnet to see if there are things that need fine-tuning. to see if there are things that could help it run better. I mean, yes, a car can fail an MOT, but basically an MOT is about keeping cars running well, keeping them on the road, showing up things that need repairing or renewing. And so why not take this opportunity at the moment to kind of lift the bonnet on your relationship with God and think about what needs fine-tuning, what needs a bit of work to run better, what needs renewing or repairing in order to keep you in the best shape possible for the journey ahead. The wonderful thing about spiritual fitness is that, unlike physical fitness, there are no limits. Our capacity for physical fitness, that will be determined by all sorts of things. But our capacity for spiritual fitness, that is unlimited. It's not dependent on having the right kit. It's not even dependent on whether the gym or the pool is open at the moment. You're never too old. You're never too young. Your physical health or your lack of physical health, that plays no part in it. All you need is a longing. No matter how small or fragile that longing is, all you need is a longing for the more of God and a willingness to do a bit of spiritual digging. Making space is, of course, more, it's about more than just making time. It's also about making space in our heads and in our hearts so that we can be more open to God in the everyday. In that first passage, Jesus talks about seeking God's kingdom. Seek first God's kingdom. Jesus is encouraging here an intentional and a wholehearted focus on God. Wholeheartedness is lived out in many different ways, but not least in the way that we make space to be more open and intentional in seeking God's presence in the here and now. This is hard because we live noisy and distracted lives, some of which we can't do anything about, but some of which we can. We relive the past. We worry about the future. We fill every tiny little space that we've got with something, checking our social media, flicking through TV channels, searching the internet. And in all this, we miss the God who is present to us now. In our first passage, Jesus reminds us not to worry about tomorrow, to live each day as it comes, to learn from nature, from the birds and the flowers, who always live in the now. For God is to be found right where we are. God is always in the moment, be that moment hard or easy, joyful or painful. Yet how often are we somewhere else? God is always present to us. But are we always present to him? Many years ago now, I read a book by David Adams, who retired some years ago as vicar of Holy Island up in Northumberland. And words from that book, from the opening pages of that book, they've stayed with me. And God has continued to speak to me through them. And in those opening pages, David Adams, he invites us to step over the edge of glory, to step over the edge of glory, to discover each day that we're encircled by God and encompassed by his presence and his love. David Adams writes that this isn't something we create. It's a reality to become aware of, not something we create, but a reality to become aware of, a glory that is ours, but that we so often miss. We are on the very edge of glory, but we seem to choose the wrong side. As I say, I read those words about 30 years ago, but God continues to bring me back to them And God continues to speak through those words, encouragement and challenge, to step over the edge of glory, to remain on the right side, to seek to be present to the God who is always present to me. Of course, we'll never manage to be wholly present to God. That is a counsel of perfection which is beyond our reach, but I think we can all take small steps every day to make space to being more open to God, resisting the urge to fill every moment with something, no matter how good or profitable that is, purposefully stopping, being still, and taking a moment to remember that God is with us in the now. Be still and know that I am God, says the psalm. We could be waiting in a queue, we could be watching dinner, we could be sitting in the park with the children, we could be waiting at the bus stop, taking a moment to pause over a cup of tea. These are all potential spaces which, no matter how fleeting or small, they're spaces in which we can seek to be present to God, who is with us each and every moment of our lives. Part of making space is about becoming more comfortable with silence. Scripture reminds us that God often speaks in the still small voice, which can get lost in the noise and the busyness of every day. There's a scene in The Fellowship of the Ring, the first film of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and it's in the film, it's done a bit differently in the books, and it's where the elf Lord Elrond, he's called a council to decide what to do with the ring, who is going to take the ring to Mordor to get so that it can be destroyed, and everyone is talking and arguing, and they're all speaking really loudly. But underneath it all, in the middle, there's a little voice saying, I will take it. I will take it. And it's only when everybody shuts up, all the big people shut up, that they can hear the little hobbit Frodo saying, I will take it. God is constantly speaking to us, but the noise in our world and in our heads is often so loud that it's only when we switch it off that we can hear what he's actually saying. Our heads, they're like the council of Elrond, full of noise. God is speaking, but he is drowned out by the noise of louder and more demanding voices. Last week, we thought about Christian meditation, which is an excellent way in which we can become more comfortable with silence and open to that still, small voice of God. David led us in a very gentle meditation, which involves putting our palms up and putting our palms down as a way of giving our worries to God and our troubles to God. That's palms down. And then being open to God to receive. That's palms up. And alongside this, David encouraged us to weave in verses from the Bible as well, gently reflecting on them, sitting with them, not working too hard with our heads, but letting their truth sink into our hearts. This kind of meditating on scripture, it's been described as sucking a boiled sweet, just gently and slowly savoring the flavor of God's word in a moment of quiet. And I'd really encourage you to keep on doing this, maybe building up the amount of time each week, a bit like the way that we kind of build up physical exercise when we're trying to get physically fitter. David also mentioned making space to reflect and meditate on creation. Remember those glorious words of Psalm 19, where the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Creation is speaking to us. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they have no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice, if we will give space to listen, goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. That reading from Matthew, that Matthew reminds us that Jesus was a master of hearing God speak through creation. Anything and everything seemed to speak to him about the ways and the works of God. Birds and flowers and sheep and fig trees and vines. And alongside meditating and listening to God through his word and through his creation, I'd encourage you to make space to meditate on where God or how God is at work in your life. Remember how we read in Luke's gospel that Mary ponders the things that are happening to her as Jesus is born and grows up. Ponder or treasure, it's another word for meditate or reflect. Personally, I know that when I'm feeling particularly spiritually unfit, it's often linked to the fact that I'm not giving space to reflect, to ponder, to meditate upon where God has been and is currently at work. And so, like Mary, I need to make time to prayerfully ponder and consider what God has and is doing, to trace his finger in my life, setting aside time to look back over the last day, over the last week, over the last month, noting things for which I want to be thankful for, moments when I've been particularly aware of God, maybe, no matter how fleeting those moments have been, thinking about how I've experienced God's love through others, through people's kindness and encouragement, through the natural world. What has made me smile? What has made me sad? When has God felt close or distant? Where have I seen beauty and hope, new life? And then turning those thoughts and reflections into prayer, prayers of thanks, prayers of sadness and lament, requests, petitions for the days ahead. So making space for God. Space in terms of setting aside time to read our Bibles and to pray. Space in our hearts and our heads becoming less distracted, more focused, more Christ-centered. Space so we're better able to see and to hear God through his word, through creation and in our lives. Space to be with God. Space to know God. Space to hear and to see God. Space is good soil in which the Holy Spirit can help us to get spiritually fitter. Let's pray. Father God, we long for the immeasurably more you promise, the immeasurably more of going deeper in our relationship with you. By your Holy Spirit, help us to make greater space for you in our lives, space to be with you, to see and to hear you, space to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.